Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will be with us later this hour at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans, the NFL draft, all things NFL with Charles a little bit later in the program as well. Rex Road live from Lexington, Kentucky, as the NCAA tournament begins today. Tennessee in action later tonight against Wofford. We'll get back into that a little bit later in the program. Joe, a lot of thoughts about wide receiver yesterday when we had Kuharski on the show. And there's not a ton of great options that are out there and available at this point in NFL free agency. You still have Stephon Diggs, who's coming off the torn ACL. You've got Tyler Lockett, who has been released by Seattle. You've got Cooper Kupp already landing back with the Seahawks after being released by the Rams. So we've gotten a lot of messages over the last couple of weeks of people who wanted Cooper Kupp. He is gone. He is in Seattle. So Diggs is out there. Lockett's out there. Amari Cooper is out there. And I think based on where the Titans receiver room is right now, I feel like they need to take a shot with one of these guys, be it a Cooper, a Diggs, a Lockett, whoever. Just because right now you're looking at that room, it's Calvin Ridley, it's Bryce Oliver, it's Van Jefferson. Like, it's not overly inspiring what they've got in that room right now. They're going to draft somebody. We'll see what that ends up looking like and where they do it in the NFL draft. But I still think a free agent wide receiver or two would be a worthwhile pursuit. So of the players that are out there and available at wide receiver, Joe, any one in particular that you'd like to see the Titans target and sign in free agency?
No. But they have to sign someone. So, the answer is somebody. Like Karski said yesterday, Lockett, at some point his price comes down, right? So if that gets down to the point where it's real value shopping, sure, give that a shot. I see that Stephon Diggs is visiting with the Patriots. I wouldn't have necessarily put Stephon Diggs and Mike Vrabel together. But Vrabel's out here making moves, man. I don't know.
The Titans back together pretty much.
I mean, Diggs is still, it's like – The thing about free agent receivers right now is, I guess if you're a free agent receiver looking at the Titans, now you could look at the whole thing and say, okay, it's Cam Ward. So it's kind of, what do you think about Cam Ward?
Right.
So if some of these guys look at Cam Ward and they're like, okay, yeah, that guy absolutely is going to be a dude in this league, maybe you feel better. It has been this, who the heck is our quarterback? Like, why am I? So let me go to this terrible team without a quarterback, an offensive line. It's just not attractive. So maybe, not that it's 100%, but maybe the fact that it looks that way might entice some people. Although still, if I'm a veteran receiver in this league, and it comes down to money. But I mean, if I'm a veteran receiver in this league, I don't know that I'm necessarily signing up for, trying to grow with a rookie, But yeah, we get to this point here in free agency, Robbie, and it's guys who their choices are more limited than they probably hoped they would be, and their money's more limited than they hoped they would be. And so that's when you can get in there and get someone. You got to get somebody.
Well, it was reported that Rondale Moore was on the Titans' radar and was supposed to be in for a visit yesterday, and then he ends up signing in Minnesota. That is your boy going back to the draft. So you would have loved that. Now, obviously, injuries have been a huge problem for him. He missed the entire year last year. But he ends up signing in Minnesota, which, you know, he'll probably go there and stay completely healthy and have 800 yards receiving next year in that offense. So that'll be
right.
Fun. But, you know, so they released, reportedly, you know, Garofalo put it out there that he was supposed to visit with the Titans yesterday, and he ends up signing in Minnesota. So they're looking at wide receiver. We've had a couple people on the text line throw out Elijah Moore. Like, we've talked about him as well. You know, those guys are obviously not in the same group as a Tyler Lockett or a Diggs or an Amari Cooper, but they're also younger and guys that maybe you could get as ascending players who you hope can blossom into something with you. Like, I think Moore the last 2 years in Cleveland has had basically 60 catches a year, right around 600 yards and a few touchdowns. So yeah, last year he had 61 catches, 538 yards, a touchdown. The year before that, 59 catches, 640 yards, and two touchdowns. So kind of right in that mold there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, look, I think that that's worth looking into for sure. But I feel like if you're Calvin Ridley, if you're really gonna, you know, put someone out there that is going to, you know, hopefully you balance out Calvin Ridley and make, you know, give defenses something to think about, I think it's a drafted receiver, you know, and there are some good options there. But again, that then you just get into the whole, okay, well, that would be a good thing to address, but then what the heck are you doing to rush quarterbacks this year?
Yeah, well, I think it's a drafted receiver too. But I think if you're going three receivers right now, like if you're in a three receiver set, who's your three at the moment? Like it's Ridley, Oliver, and Jefferson. Like, to me, you need a drafted guy and to go sign one of these guys to add to that, right? Like,
yes,
there's a lot of work
question.
To do.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you need bodies in there. But like, you know, there's no more impact. Like you're getting lower impact right now among the free agents. You know, some people surprise you, you know. And again, like Diggs is one of those things where it's like, well, what if he is healthy? He's fine. All this stuff has humbled him, and all of a sudden it's like he's NFL comeback player of the year for somebody next year. I mean, he has the kind of talent that he would be one of those, you know, one of those possible stories.
He,
you know,
he's
I
the
wouldn't
one,
bet on it, right. But you know, it's possible.
He's the one that I think if you're looking for a guy, out of Cooper, Lockett, and him, like he's the one that I would probably bet on if he's fully healthy being the most productive. Now, he also, you know, there's some headache, clearly, that comes with him. Like Buffalo, you know, he had a great last year with Buffalo and had a great run with the Bills. And by the end of it, they were dying to get rid of him, basically. Like, and they ended up being better for it, right? Like they had a better team that got to the conference championship game and really didn't miss a beat without him. So is that a commentary on like how difficult he is to deal with in the locker room? I don't know, but like, you know, it kind of wore out his welcome in Minnesota and then eventually wore out his welcome in Buffalo. So, you know, he went around in Houston long enough prior to the injury to really know. So he's probably the one that I would say at age 31 could come back next year and still be really productive. But you're right. I mean, like Cooper's production fell basically by more than half last year when the combination of Cleveland and Buffalo. It kind of feels like he's starting to get to the other side of it. Lockett, the one thing about Lockett that I think could make him a viable option for the Titans is he has been very, very durable throughout his career. And we have seen this offseason so far how important that is in terms of the decisions that this front office is making at the moment.
Yeah, I got a texter says, "Woo, we gonna be bad."
Yeah. Might be.
I mean, yeah, might be. Someone asked him about, is Burks gone?
He's not gone. Now he is coming off an injury. We don't know how healthy he is, but even if he is ready to go by the time the season goes, which is not a guarantee, by the way. But even if he is, then I mean, I'm not even factoring Treylon Burks into this discussion.
Yeah, I just think at this point it's like, if around, well, okay, surprise us. That's where it is now. And that would be like, I honestly, like the practice stuff, just it almost needs to be like embargoed from being discussed if he does something in practice. like an agreement among the Titans beat writers, like, we will not write about Treylon Burks having a good practice because it's, you know, it needs to be embargoed, and then we'll see if he does it in an actual game. Another texter says, Diggs with a rookie QB is a hell no.
I understand
what you're saying, but you got to have people, you know, with talent. It'd be interesting to see, like, you know, if he's visiting the Patriots, obviously there's some serious interest there. I mean, if I'm Drake May, you know, I mean, he's almost a rookie quarterback. You know, is that something that excites you, or are you worried about that? You know, again, like, Diggs at this point in his career, like, it's just, you know, first of all the there's the injury, there's the production decline, but also just all the talk about what a headache you are. You know, sometimes people react to that in a good way.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the receivers that are out there. Who would you like to see the Titans pursue that's out there and still available at wide receiver? Plus some rule change proposals specifically from the Lions that are very interesting. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Andrew Burnett at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, the game for Vanderbilt basketball as the Commodores take on St. Mary's in the NCAA men's basketball tournament tomorrow at 2:15. Pre-game at 1:45. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Andrew Burnett coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. Preds in action tonight taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Joe, the Detroit Lions throwing some rule change proposals out there. We've talked about the rule proposal that the Packers threw out there of basically eliminating the tush push. I don't expect that that's going to happen, but we'll see what that ends up looking like. The Lions were busy throwing out some proposals, Joe. They had the proposal to eliminate automatic first downs for defensive holding and illegal contact penalties, as Trey Wingo threw out there. I think they've led the league in both of those. So they are throwing it out there to eliminate automatic first downs for defensive holding and illegal contact.
Which
and
is a high school way to officiate, but yeah.
Yes, it is. And
you find that in high school.
They've also proposed a change to the playoff seeding format, where basically you would, in each conference, the division winner – with the best record would be the number one seed. And then after that, it's basically just by record. Like, winning your division doesn't matter. It's by record. So, for instance, last year, I think it ended up, like, you know, the NFC North had the Lions that were 15-2, the Vikings that were 14-3, and the Packers that were 11-6. Well, the Lions were the one seed, the Vikings were the five seed, and the Packers were the seven seed. Under this new format, the Lions would have been one, the Vikings would have been three, and the Packers would have been five. So, what do you make of, let's just take them a couple at a time. Let's start with the eliminating the automatic first down after defensive holding and illegal contact.
Hell no. Get out of here, Lions. worry about not letting, like, a rookie quarterback score a million points on you and destroy you in the playoffs. Yeah, I know in Tennessee, I think in a lot of states, that is how high school is officiated. You know, if it's second and 12, you get a holding out, second and two. You know, it's not automatic. It should be an automatic first down. Get that out of here. The other one is really interesting to me, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. I have definitely – there are times when it's like, my God, that's just so stupid. Again, like last year, you know, the Vikings having the year they had, and it's like if you're in a division that good and you have that record – you know, like, you get screwed over, even though really your achievement, you could argue, is more impressive because you're in that division. And then this crappy division over here, just garbage. You know, whoever goes, you know, 8-9 and wins the division gets a home playoff game. I mean, there are times when I'm like, I just don't like it. But at the same time, I do like the reward of winning your division. So I'm pretty torn on that one.
I like it. That is exactly how I'd do it. I would go by record. I think it was 2010, if memory serves me correctly. The NFC West was total garbage, and the Seahawks ended up winning the division with a 7-9 record. Yeah. They were the first team in the history of the league to win a division with a losing record, and they won. I want to say they ended up winning the playoff game after that too, but I don't specifically remember. But they won their division at 7-9. Look, I hear people that say there needs to be some sort of reward for winning the division. So I guess I get it from that standpoint. I guess the reward for winning the division to me would be like, hey, you're in the playoffs. I don't mind seeding conferences by record. Like I think if you're going by record, number one, you could end up like, – that to me is the best reward for the regular season if you're going purely by record. And then number two, I think you could end up with some really fascinating playoff matchups when you do that too. Like, you know, Vikings being the 3 seed, Packers being the 5 seed this last year, like how different would that have been? And like honestly, like if you're a team that wins a terrible division, should you really be rewarded with a home game? I don't know. Like I think I like that rule proposal by the Lions.
Yeah, you've talked me into it. Although actually I have another idea. Why don't we get a committee?
Oh yeah,
you know, just get a let's get a committee. You know, we'll get like you know like Kaharski, and Jerry Glanville, and some people like that, and just like pick the teams.
You start doing a reveal show like you know week 12 or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you're right. It's just I do like I get a team being like, man, we win our division, but again, it's like I'm sorry, but your 4 teams in your division just happen to be terrible. And so all these schedules, you know, obviously the schedules are weighted compared, you know, to relative to how you did the year before, but you're playing teams from other divisions in your conference. You're playing one other division in the other conference. Certainly there are years where it's like, oh great, we get to play whatever, you know, I mean, like the NFC North right now would be a bad, you know, matchup. I mean, that it was for the AFC South last year. So, like, that's going to affect your record. And then some years you're going to get the weak division and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, I just think if you go through a schedule in this league and you have a top record and you're, like, 4 games better than somebody else,
yeah,
I think you should have the reward of a playoff game over that team.
I agree. And like, I'm not even saying that the division winner shouldn't make the playoffs. But, like, you shouldn't just be guaranteed a home game, right? Like, I think being guaranteed a home game is ridiculous.
I think you have to be locked into a playoff spot per division. Otherwise, like, why even do divisions?
I agree with that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm on board with it. It'll be very interesting to see the momentum and the discussion on this one. I'll be interested to see what Charles says at 8, you know, about what he's heard about, you know, what teams are saying about this, because there are some years, and again, this last year was one of them, where it's like, man, this just doesn't seem right.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined coming up next by Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. They're in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's from Streetcar Taps and Garden. Patio season is here. You can enjoy great food, cold drinks, and fresh air on Streetcar Taps and Gardens covered patio. Get half off a $30 gift card before they're gone at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Anaheim Ducks. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Doing good. Doing good.
Andrew, we know like during the course of a season, it's not like you've got all this excess time to just sit around and watch, you know, college basketball. But are you a bracket guy? Do you fill one out? Do you just leave this alone? How do you kind of view the bracket part of this?
I think when I was a player, I was big-time bracket. Crazy, actually. Now that you're coaching, you don't really have as much time to dive in. I did go to the SEC final. It was great.
Nice.
last Sunday. So I've kind of been watching. But, yeah, I haven't filled it out yet. I think maybe I know some of our trainers run one, so I might have to jump in here.
There you go. Get involved. Got a couple hours to get it done. So, Andrew, we talked after the game the other night, and clearly you were disappointed with – you know, kind of feeding the transition game that we saw from St. Louis and not managing the puck properly. Like, when something like that happens in the course of a game, what's your process like of going about trying to correct that and making sure that you're taking care of the puck a little bit better tonight against Anaheim?
Yeah, I mean, I think during the game, obviously, you remind them gently, firmly, continuously. We just had a hard time, and they're a fast team, but we made it a little bit too easy for them. And that's been the case in different stretches during the year where we've just, you know, for some reason we've lost, you know, that extra layer. And I don't know if we were pushing for offense because goals haven't been easy to come by, but we've kind of lost that layer that's kind of, when we're on our game, allows us to limit those opportunities. And we were not layered properly last game or consistently through that stretch. So it was a little disappointing, especially we kind of went out, you know, west, and I thought we did a pretty good job of that throughout that whole trip. And, you know, really it was kind of a war of attrition in the LA game. And I thought we really kind of buckled down in that sense and got home. And I don't know if we got a little loose or, you know, you always worry as a coach those when you get back from those West Coast trips that, you know, you're just a little bit sloppy. And I thought we were a little sloppy at the wrong times against, you know, probably the second best transition team in the league.
So 4 weeks to go, Andrew. Obviously, you know, you want to play well, you want to win, you want to, you know, you want to play good hockey. But what else do you really want to see, maybe even on an individual basis here as the season winds down?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked all year and still trying to, you know, find that identity, and we just have had a hard time grabbing a hold of it and keeping it. You know, that you kind of get the feeling, kind of that little winning streak where kind of look like us or I envision us how to look, how we would look. And then, you know, you slip a little bit, you know, last game. So we're still trying to find that consistency in our game. As for the individual, I think it's a really important time for a lot of different players for a lot of different reasons. You know, you got some young kids that trying to make their mark in this league, Svechkov or LaRue, and on the back end with Stastny and Delgazzo, and they're, you know, they're trying to, you know, kind of make it still. And so they have a lot to play for. So it's a really important that we get their eyes on them and put them in situations so we can really get a good feeling of where they're at, you know, heading into the summer. And then some of the other guys, the older guys and guys that maybe haven't had the type of year they want, I think it's important for them. Can they find it? Can they get a good feeling of where their game's at down this stretch? And, you know, it's hard, you know, at this time of year, especially for the veteran players that are used to Stanley Cup runs and playoffs and all that stuff, to find some motivation for them that there's still lots to play for here a little bit, that we haven't had the season we wanted individually or collectively. And can we just leave this season feeling better as we head into the summer? And that's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge for many different reasons, but I think it's really, to me, that's the motivation for our group going forward.
So, Andrew, you guys picked up Michael Bunting at the trade deadline, and obviously coming off the appendectomy, and, you know, having never had an appendectomy, I would imagine that's very difficult to come back from. So it's a limited sample size at this point, but what have you made of his game so far? And when you look at him for the rest of this regular season and heading into next year and envision kind of what he could be for you guys, what comes to mind when you think about Michael Bunting?
Well, I think when you think of him, and we've seen flashes of it, I don't think we've seen his best hockey in his first three games, which is understandable, especially on the back-to-back and coming off the surgery. But I think he showed flashes where he showed a flash the other night where he's taking pucks to the net, he's getting those greasy areas. He's really good around that area, something that we need a little bit more of. So he's going to fill that profile for us. You know, he has the ability to score goals. He's a smart offensive player. And he can hound pucks, and he's got a little bit of that relentless ability to, in the offensive zone, to be on pucks and be in dirty areas and get them back. So that's what I'm looking for. You know, I've seen it different stretches, and I've seen it throughout his career. So looking forward to getting to know him a little bit better, getting to understand his game here as we go.
Andrew, you mentioned Stastny, and obviously he had the pause, and you know, I imagine something like that is just naturally going to set some things back. But what are you seeing from him right now, and what's out there for him moving forward in his career?
Well, I think for him, you know, when he's skating, and we've all seen it, and we see it, it's pretty impressive. And we're just looking for a little bit of consistency in that. He just seems to, you know, skate one game and the other game he's not really using his feet, and he's not the biggest guy. And if you could skate the way he can skate, we want to see that every night. And that'd be a really important part of, one, the way we play. I mean, his profile fits exactly how we want to play. But he just needs to find the consistency, kind of like a lot of the young guys coming in. You know, I think every call-up he's had, he's really good his first game, and then it kind of dips a little bit. And I think we've gone through it again a little bit this time, kind of took him out. I thought he's a little bit better the other night. But we need him skating. I think he's a game changer when he skates, and something we really need back there. So trying to find down the stretch, can he bring it every night? And I think it's going to be, you know, for him, that should be his motivation. Can you get that consistency in your game to prove that you're not one just an everyday player, but a very effective player in this league?
So, Andrew, you know, Zach LaRue got sidelined with the injury. He's been back in the last few games. And, he was talking the other night about how he's been through a bit of a rough stretch offensively. He's trying to find his game again. What do you make of kind of where he's at in that process? And what do you want to see as you close out the regular season from LaRue specifically?
Yeah, I think for him, when he's, and I think you see flashes that we've seen it early. Again, he's another one of those young kids that are trying to be an everyday player and bring an element to the game every night. And I think he's had a really good year. It slipped a little bit before he got hurt. And, you expect him coming off his injury, it's going to take a little bit of time to get going. But I expect him to be, around the net, a little bit like Michael Bunting, where they're on top of pucks, they're a little bit physical, they're kind of under your skin, they get to the hard areas. And, with Zach, he's got really good hockey sense, he's got really good, offensive instincts. And, as a young player, you kind of want it, right away. And sometimes it takes a while. And for me, for Zach, he's, because his sense and his feel of the game is so good, he's a very reliable player in all situations. And I want to see that part of his game grow. I'm not overly worried about the offensive part right now. I think that will come because I can tell he thinks it and sees it and has instincts around the net. We just want him to get that 200-foot game going and kind of get into the identity that, and he's a big, he could be a big driving force going forward, the kind of the identity we want to play with, where he's relentless, he's on top of pucks, he's kind of in hard areas, good along the wall, all those things that make you hard to play against. And that's kind of what we're looking to get. And I think he'll get there. I think as a young player, you want it fast right away. And it's going to just take a little time. But we're happy with his progress. And like I said, he brings a lot of different attributes to the game. And I think he'll get going here as we go down the stretch here. Hard when you miss the amount of time he has had and you throw him into the fire. You play a desperate St. Louis team that's probably on a different level than some of the other games we played of late, where they're fighting for their playoff lives. And we didn't match her desperation. And I think individually and collectively, we're not quite at that level. So we got to get Zach back to that level where he's at, where he was before he got hurt.
Looking ahead a little bit here, Andrew, but obviously, slow starts your first two seasons. How much have you looked into the reasons for that? And do you feel like this group, because basically this core group will be back next year, can rectify that and have a better start next season?
Yeah, I think that's something definitely is on my mind. I think there was maybe probably a little bit of the year before, a new system, new kind of expectations, demands from how we want to play. So you expected a little bit of that. This year, for whatever reason, I think we thought we kind of had it figured out, or we thought it'd be a little easier than it was going to be. And obviously the all expectations, the excitement, we just didn't, we weren't quite, on top of our game when we started. We had a hard time and we kind of got punched in the mouth early and kind of staggered a little bit. So I think, obviously putting a lot of thought in, and I'll, unwind and decompress when the season's over and figure out exactly why or what I believe is why. But there's got to be some things changed a little bit over the summer, how we approach training camp, and we'll kind of go from there. But I really don't have a solution, but I know it's on my mind pretty much every day.
Well, Andrew, really appreciate your time. As always, good luck tonight against Anaheim, and we'll talk to you here in a little bit after the morning skate.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep, Predators head coach Andrew Brunette, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Take your thoughts on what Brunette had to say. Got the Rob rant coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Number 20, 2 minutes roughing.
For what?
For being a Canadian, Corey. I'll call the guy who retaliates every time.
Call for both.
I've had about enough from the Clearasil kid. Get in the box, you pimple farmer. Hey, who wants to hurt their team more, boys? Keep it up and find out. I'm only taking one of you. 6 in. One more Neutrogena tantrum out of you and you're getting the gate, bud. Try me.
Whatever.
Don't take your Accutane rage out on me.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob rant here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Disrespect. This isn't the Rex rant. Nick Kieser, disrespect for Robbie.
I thought so too. A lot of disrespect going on behind the glass over there. That's okay. I'll overcome it.
You should even rant even harder now.
You know, I might have to. So, Joe, I want to talk today about the National Hockey League, which in a lot of ways is like it's like my baby, right? Like, I've grown up in hockey. It's been my favorite sport for a long time. I've worked in hockey. I love the NHL. The NHL, I think right now, Joe, is probably in as good or better of a spot than it's ever been in. The ratings are good. Four Nations Tournament was a huge success. I think everyone is looking forward to, like, best-on-best Olympic hockey next year. There's a lot of excitement around the game. The game's very fun to watch. The salary cap is going to go up wildly in the next few years, which makes, you know, the league kind of signals to you the growth that's happening. There's some CBA talks coming up, and we'll see how smoothly or non-smoothly those go. There's one part of this, though, that I have had just about enough of that I think we got to fix that apparently does not have any appetite whatsoever to being fixed, and that is the playoff seeding the way that it is. And if you're a Predators fan, you think back to when the Predators won the President's Trophy. They were the best team in the league. And in the second round of the playoffs that year, they ended up playing the Jets in a great seven-game series that they lost. The Jets were the second-best team in the NHL by record that year. And they ended up seeing each other in the second round. They changed this playoff format, I think, over a decade ago at this point. And it is – I understand what they were trying to do, right? Like, they were trying to create rivalries, essentially, where, like, you're playing a lot of games in your division, a lot of playoff series in your own division, and over time that builds up a lot of hatred and you get some good rivalries that way. And I do think that that part of it has worked to some degree, but I think we've reached the point, Joe, where the playoff format needs to be rethought here. And is it really serving the best interest of the league, the best interest of the fans having it this way? You know, it used to be if you're the one seed in either the West or the East, you're taking on eight. If you were two, you're playing seven, three, six, four, five. I don't think there was anything wrong with that playoff format. I like that playoff format. You know, Gary Bettman was asked about this yesterday, and Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic put this out there about whether he was going to consider talking to the NHLPA when the CBA talks come up about going back to the old playoff format. And the quote from LeBrun was, quote, an emphatic no from the commissioner. He likes the format the way that it is now. You know, the Oilers and the Kings have played each other in the first round of the playoffs, Joe, I believe three consecutive years at this point. And if the season were to end today, which is my favorite phrase in sports, they would be doing it again. This would be the fourth consecutive year that Edmonton and LA is playing in the first round. Now, some people may like that. Some people may say, you know what, that's cool. You're creating a huge rivalry between Edmonton and LA. We'll see if LA ever beats them at any point. I don't like that. I don't like the same playoff matchups every year. And I'll tell you what I really don't like, beyond that part of it, like right now, it looks like Winnipeg is going to win the Central Division. I mean, they're at 98 points. They got a 9-point lead on Dallas. So Winnipeg is probably winning this division, which means that the first-round matchup in the Western Conference is probably going to be Dallas and Colorado, which probably should be a Western Conference final matchup, but it's right. A first-round matchup. And you're talking about when you pull up the league standings, Dallas is number three in the league. Colorado is number eight. In the Western Conference, if you just went purely by Western Conference standings, Dallas is number two. Colorado is number four. They should not be playing each other in the first round. And I understand that it's going to be a heck of a series, right? Like, it's going to be great. If that's the way it ends up shaking out and it's Dallas and Colorado, there's a lot of juice there. They were both really active at the deadline. Mikko Rantanen plays for Dallas now. He used to play for Colorado. There's a lot of juice to it. You know where I'd rather see that juice? In the second or third round. deeper into the playoffs. Like, I think that serves you better as your sport. So the NHL is doing a lot of things right. Basically, like, they went on a run where from the Four Nations tournament to the TV rating, like, everything was going right for the NHL this year. The one problem that I still have that I think they got to fix, I'm tired of this playoff format. I think a lot of the fans are tired of this playoff format too, and it's time to go back to the old one.
I mean, I couldn't possibly give a bigger endorsement to what you just said. It absolutely needs to be seeded correctly. And like you said, I mean, in 2018, that absolutely needed to be the Western Conference Final. And you just can't – you end up with these matchups that happen way too early. And I just – first of all, in this sport, you know, I get the idea of rivalries. But, again, you already have divisions where you play teams all the time. You might or might not end up seeing them in the postseason. You will at times. But, like, the great thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs is, like, it takes about a game and a half for teams to hate the hell out of each other anyway.
Yes.
Right? Like – that's what's great about it. Is like, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, you put these two teams together, and they will be rivals by the end of their playoff series. And the idea that you have to continue to like manufacture that makes no sense to me. And it makes no sense to have teams that shouldn't be playing each other this early. I like variety. It's gonna be a great tournament no matter what. And teams, you know, teams are gonna rise and fall as rivals anyway, based on like how teams, like, again, at that time, I know what we were all talking about in this city 7 years ago was, man, the Preds and Jets are set up for just battle after battle the next few years, right? And it just didn't work out that way. I mean, you just, so I could not agree more with you. And it's just really disappointing that Bettman just dunks on it right away. Like, there's not even a thought.
Yeah. Like, again, I guess it depends on your perspective. Like, there are some people that probably are going to love that you're probably going to see Dallas and Colorado in the first round, right? Like, it will be a heck of a series. I have no doubt about it. I would just rather see that series later in the playoffs where the stakes are higher. Like, to me,
they've earned it to be later in the playoffs.
Like, to me, you're not really rewarding these teams for the regular seasons that they're having. Now, I understand, like, the response to that could be, well, if you don't like it, go win your division. I get that. But, like, even in the East, right? So, like, first off, the Leafs always seem to run into either, like, Tampa or Boston, which is part of why they can never win playoff series. But, like, right now in the Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic Division, the top three teams in the Atlantic Division are Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay. It's probably going to be – my guess is Florida wins that division, and it's Toronto and Tampa Bay in the first round. Now, all three of them are separated by 2 points, so it could be any one of them that end up winning the division. But right now, in the conference standings, those teams are 3-4-5. Like, they shouldn't be playing each other in the first round.
One of them shouldn't be bounced because of this format, but they will.
Right. So, I hope that between now and the CBA, first off, I hope the Players Association makes a big deal of this. Like, I hope that they kind of feel the same way that we do. Based on some players that I've just kind of randomly talked to about this over the last couple of years, I think they do feel the way that we do about, like, let's go back to just 1-8, 2-7. But I hope that a bigger deal is made of this by the time the next CBA comes around.
And that's the thing. I mean, this is never going to be top of the mind for the Players Association, no. Right? I mean, it's about getting your, you know, it's about getting your fair share of the cut and all that stuff. But yeah, I have to think, like, players and coaches across the league have to look at this and say, it's just stupid. And way too often we have a team that's going to be immediately eliminated from the playoffs that has earned the opportunity to play someone weaker and advance.
Yep.
Or maybe not advance, but at least have earned a better matchup.
Right. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into the Titans, all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.